point, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red. You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink filmmakers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus. One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, find them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I thought is, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyway.
Sports movie?
Okay, we've got to put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty. Isis?
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one cracking day, for Cylons to bring us down to possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't fight?
Shit! Oh, fuckers, take all you want! I got a Spider-Man t-shirt.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good because the Nor'easter has been downgraded like 80 times to, I think, Trace.
Yeah.
It was a foot 3 days ago, and then it was like maybe 5 inches, and now it's like 1 inch.
Now it's maybe like slushy coating.
Yeah, and now it's mostly rain, a little bit of wind. Good luck if you see snow.
That's good.
I'm done with snow.
I'm past my budget for heating oil this year.
Word.
And I cannot get any more. So,
so there you go.
My house is what you would call
cold?
Museum-like. It's very cold and very dark, and you aren't allowed to touch anything.
Everything is well protected.
Exactly.
Everything is well preserved.
Living beings in my house?
Yeah.
A little cold.
You know what? They'll get over it.
That's it.
That's what blankets are
That's
for.
It. And sweaters and
right.
Hoodies.
You know, people can reduce the easiest way to reduce your heating bill? Dress like it's fucking winter.
That's right. What if you're home?
My wife, sitting on the couch in shorts and a tank top, it's cold. Turn up the heat. Put on a sweater.
Yeah.
See that blanket right there?
Yeah.
Put on that blanket.
Some pants.
Look, I'm wearing a nice comfy long sleeve shirt.
Uh-huh.
I got on pajama pants and some slippers. I'm perfectly warm.
Jersey slippers.
My son's running around in a footsie pajamas. He's perfectly warm.
Yep.
Everybody's dressed appropriately.
He don't know.
Baby. Yeah, whatever. Cold, whatever. He's fine.
Get him used to it now.
That's right.
Because this shit ain't going to get any better.
You live in the north, sort of. Son?
Son? You near enough to New England, son.
This is not getting better.
Sit.
So, anyway.
Yeah. Oh, right. The show.
We are doing a show. In theory.
Yes.
We are doing a show.
Yes, very
Rumor
good.
Has it.
Rumor has it.
Speaking of which.
That's right. And this is, we're going to call it Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode
279.
That's good. I was going 279. And we're calling it Rumor Has It.
That's right.
Because there's lots of rumored things in the news. Tons of rumors. Most of which we're hoping are bullshit.
Most of which are likely bullshit.
Yeah. So that's, man, some of them are awful.
Well, let's just get into it then.
Geek Stuff. What's in the news?
So this is as much about the rumors in the news as it is about the proliferation of rumors in the news.
Okay.
So, you know, we talk about these speculative, apparently very legitimate reports from Latino Review and places like Ain't It Cool News.
Why does
right?
Latino Review get every breaking story ever? Because and they're always right.
No, they're not. And that's the problem.
Oh.
That's the problem.
I thought they were always right.
No. So earlier this week, we're just going to get into it. Earlier this week, Latino Review, because Harrison Ford has already signed his ironclad Star Wars Episode 7 contract like they declared about a month ago, hasn't he? He signed it, right?
I didn't hear. I've never heard that.
No, exactly. Except from Latino Review.
Did they actually say that?
Yeah, they went on Fox. They went on like Fox News' online segment
and
reported it. Yeah, it was ridiculous. Anyway, so according to them now, Christopher Nolan is not only developing the Justice League film, but is also courting Christian Bale to come back as Batman.
Yeah.
And I call Bravo fucking Sierra.
I did hear that Christian Bale, that if Nolan were to do the film, that Christian Bale would come back as Batman. That's the rumor that I heard this week. Which, yeah, I got to join you on the Bravo Sierra because I can't imagine how you do a Justice League film in that Batman universe. And that's exactly what you're talking about doing. First of all...
Well, you have to pull... In order to do it with that Batman, you have to pull that Batman out of that Gotham and set the movie elsewhere.
Yeah,
and
number one...
maybe you can make it work.
How about number two... He's not Batman anymore.
Well, you know.
Yeah, well, you know. How about let's talk about a few more points why this is an extraordinarily terrible idea.
How about we talk about that there's still no confirmation that there's going to be a Justice League movie?
Well,
a month ago they scrapped the script.
Well, you know,
they got rid of the script and said
moreover than that, they actually built in an excuse not to make the Justice League movie, which we talked about 2 weeks ago.
If Man of Steel tanks.
If Man of Steel tanks, we're not going to move ahead with this Justice... Well, yeah, of course. You're now going to... If the fact that they're saying if Man of Steel tanks means they think Man of Steel is going to tank. Now, Man of Steel tanks, Batman, the Nolan universe, is the Batman-Nolan universe, which I don't think supports a Justice League movie.
Right.
That's number two. Number three, ready? Green Lantern. Number four, Wonder Woman. Number five, you don't even have any supporting films for, say, Aquaman or Martian Manhunter.
Listen,
or we're missing somebody in the original seven.
I'm not just saying this because...
Wait, hold on. Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern.
Flash,
yeah, there's no Flash.
I'm not just saying this because I happen to be a Green Arrow fan, but it's sad when the most lucrative DC franchise on either big screen or little screen right now is Green Arrow related. That's all I'm saying. It's a great show. It's doing very well.
Uh-huh.
But somehow DC cannot manage to put out a decent movie.
Uh-huh.
They do okay with their TV shows. But aside from Batman, they can't manage to put out a decent movie.
But what are you basing that on? Green Lantern.
And the last Superman movie.
Wow. Well, I mean, are we really counting that?
Yeah, why not? We're talking about DC-related superhero movies. We understand that Man of Steel is quite a reboot.
Right.
But that being said...
What are you taking, like the last
10 years? 10 years.
Watchmen. What? Oh, come on.
Watchmen was a great movie, but I think Watchmen stands outside of traditional DC movies.
Okay, that's fine, but it still was a successful DC movie.
It was that Warner Brothers?
Yeah.
Or no?
That was Warner Brothers.
It was? Okay. Yeah. I just wasn't sure.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Latino Review, also, a couple of months ago.
By the way, speaking of, I hate to
interrupt.
Speaking of Watchmen,
yeah.
Before Watchmen,
yeah.
Coming to trade.
I know, they're all soon. All
yeah,
very soon.
But
yeah.
They're combining them.
I know, I heard.
Two titles per trade.
Yeah, because some of our fans are apparently really eager to read before Watchmen.
Some of our hosts.
Because some of our fans have been so kind as to use our Amazon associate link over at
BigCatPodcast.com.
Click on the Amazon associate link at the top of the page, and they've ordered.
Oh,
a bunch
yeah?
of those Watchmen trades. A couple of people have ordered them because I've seen multiples.
Do you know that
some of those titles.
Do you know that over 50% of the hosts on this program are looking forward to those trades?
That's what I hear.
Over 50%?
Over 50%? Okay. Not going to comment. Leaving it where it is.
You trying to make that into a fat joke?
You made it into a fat joke.
That's what I'm saying.
I just didn't comment on it.
I know what you were thinking.
I commented by not commenting.
Okay, let's talk about math. I want to read them all.
Right.
You want to read like two of them.
I might want to read one of them.
All right, even if it's one of them. So that would be over 50%.
It's like 50.5%.
That's over 50%.
It is over 50%.
Only you would bring it to the fat joke stage of things.
That's luck. I'm just saying.
You know what? Somewhere right now in New Jersey, Cornboy is crying.
Cornboy is not crying.
Because of your...
I saw Cornboy's new... He posted photos of his new fancy Cornboy shoes. He's not crying. He's happy with his shoes. And actually, speaking of Cornboy, I think new Outer Spaceman figures have just hit.
I know.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get my box in the mail that we can talk about on this program. I love those things.
I
don't know if I stressed enough how much I love. I know they do like lots of colorways and all that stuff. I like the regular ones.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think they're from packaging to production to they are awesome. I can't wait to get the new ones.
Absolutely.
Sorry, rumors.
Yes. So several months ago, I believe it was Latino Review again that broke the
Harrison Ford
Planet Hulk story.
Yeah.
Marvel's doing Planet Hulk.
Uh huh.
When asked in an interview with IGN about the rumors regarding Planet Hulk, Joss Whedon said, well, I'm not really supposed to comment, but no, that's just nonsense.
Okay.
So there.
I don't believe that.
You don't believe it?
No.
You think they're actually going to do Planet Hulk?
I'm holding out that some derivation of Planet Hulk is what the next Hulk movie...
Phase 3? Or phase 4
is when the second Hulk solo movie is supposed. Well,
if
or technically the first one with Mark Ruffalo.
Right.
Or yeah, if it's going to happen, I still maintain that I think that would be the way they should go.
Right.
So I'm saying Joss Whedon is a red herring.
All right, we'll see.
Maybe
according to Ain't It Cool News.
Oh.
Guardians of the Galaxy may have a the film.
Yep.
May have a cameo by another group of interstellar galaxy-related teams. The Nova Corps, apparently, is what they're saying.
Yeah.
So, with all the tie-ins in the book, I could kind of see them maybe doing something with that. I don't know about the entire Nova Corps, maybe just Nova.
Would you say the Nova Corps is Marvel's Green Lanterns?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Just so we can give it a
yes,
point.
Yes, I think like that's probably police. The closest thing to Green Lantern in the Marvel universe.
Space police.
Yeah.
Kind of. So mixed reviews on Nova number one, which I'm very surprised at because I haven't read it yet because I'm trader waitering the series,
it.
But I heard it was very – I brought that up today at the local comic recce.
Really?
And
mixed
they
reviews,
were
huh? –
Yeah, mixed reviews. And I was like, what, really?
I really liked it.
I know.
And I'm not traditionally like that guy.
And also mixed reviews on the point one.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you're
surprised.
You know what? Some people at those stores,
I know.
You
know what's better? Let's get like Hispanic Spider-Man.
Yeah, because that's right.
That's
Miles
better.
Morales. That's...
Or that Venom book. Actually, I shouldn't say. I think Venom looks better.
Anyway.
Sorry. Tangent.
I'm sure someone will criticize us for our opinions on Miles Morales. They always criticize us on something. So anyway.
That's because you're racist.
Yeah. Oh, actually, and for the record, I guess last week we both said during the wrap-up, initiated by you but confirmed by me, that Megan Fox was not hot. And I may have agreed with you last week, but it may have been an error. Because
Did I say she wasn't
yes,
hot?
Yes, apparently you said that, and I agreed. George.
What?
George. Pointed it out. He gave me the number mark. It was in the wrap-up.
Uh-huh.
I agreed. I agree she's irrelevant. I agree she's not right for April O'Neil.
I'm sure I said she was irrelevant for April O'Neil.
I'm still pretty sure she's hot, though.
Wait, hold on a second. Did I really say she wasn't hot?
I believe so.
Do we have, like, a recording
of
this time marker?
I think so. We'll check it maybe during the break. And we'll report back in segment two.
What?
Okay. I'm just saying. If I said that last week, which apparently I did... I would like to detract my statement.
I don't find her festeringly hot. That said, I don't think she's, you know, she's not hideous.
I find her pretty hot. But
remind me in segment two, we got to talk about TV stuff.
Okay.
So Sorry. I don't want to
TV stuff that's not news related?
No, two TV shows, I think, that we have overlooked that we need to talk about.
Well, we'll talk about them in the news if you want
to talk about them.
Yeah, why not? But let's get through the rest of this other stuff.
Sorry.
Actually, let's at least get through this next story.
Why are we calling it rumors? We should call it tangent.
Whatever. It's all good. Guardians of the Galaxy, digital-only miniseries from Marvel. It's their new Infinite Comics series.
The only reason
I bring this up, other than it's Guardians of the Galaxy, is it's because it's Oming is the artist on it, and it looks amazing.
And it's digital-only? Maybe they'll trade it.
Maybe. And what it is it's four issues, each focusing on one character, Groot, Rocket Raccoon, Drax, and Gamora. So there you go. I will definitely
Star-Lord?
Check that out. No, I'm guessing they're focusing on Star-Lord is like, I think Star-Lord is getting his just due in the main book. So maybe they're giving us a little background on the other members of the team. I will definitely be checking that out this week. I will report back next week. Why don't you talk about your TV shows then?
Have you seen, I've been meaning to bring this up for weeks now, and I'm sorry that I didn't earlier. Have you seen King of the Nerds?
No, I've kind of refused to watch it.
Okay, so it's...
Should I?
Amongst the many reasons you should watch it is that it's hosted by Robert Carradine and, what's his name? Booger.
Yes, that I
knew. From Revenge of the Nerds. Curtis Armstrong.
Yes, that I knew.
It's hosted by the two of them. And the funniest part about it is Curtis Armstrong is the one who's really doing all the work. And Robert Carradine just adds a line or two here or there.
But Curtis Armstrong is the one out of the two that actually still works in some capacity.
Well, that's true. But Curtis Armstrong is owning every second that he is on camera.
I always thought he was funnier anyway.
I was going to say, Curtis Armstrong may be one of the most underused performers ever, because the guy owns everything he's ever been in my opinion, and he is just
a Better Off Dead, right? Not Better Off Dead.
Better Off Dead. He was in One Crazy Summer.
Yep.
He was in what was the Tom Cruise movie?
The one with
Rebecca De Mornay.
I don't remember.
Oh, Risky Business.
Oh, yes.
He was his friend in Risky Business. He was in Revenge of the Nerds.
Right.
He was in the other Revenge of the Nerds. All of the Revenge of the Nerds
that had original cast members.
Right. He always turns up here and there on different things.
And he's a regular and very funny, I might add. He's a regular voice on American Dad. Yeah.
He is. I'm really amazing.
Good for Curtis Armstrong.
Even on this show, he's just owning every bit of it. As ridiculous the premise as it is, think of it. It's kind of like Survivor, but for nerds. So they have like a role playing designer there,
right.
And they have like an astrophysicist guy, and they're all socially retarded,
right.
All of them. And I mean, not completely socially retarded, but you know, like the one girl with the pink hair is kind of the girl who's like specializing in playing WoW.
Right.
And
yeah.
She's a complete C word. And you know, like, and there's another, you know, girl who's like really into comics. And you know, like there's varying, you know, disciplines of nerddom there.
Right. Right.
And they have this mansion and it's all nerded out with stuff that probably all of us have in our house somewhere. If you combined any 10 friends of ours houses, you'd probably get this house. And it's really kind of, what do you say? It's kind of stupid, but it's kind of funny to watch at the same time. It's entertaining, which I think is the point of it. But they're all and this is the part that gets me. You know, it's like anything else, like Survivor, and then the winner at the end will get $125,000 or something like that and get to sit atop the throne of games. Right?
I'm rolling my eyes.
I know.
You cannot see.
It's this big chair, and it's got all this game paraphernalia. It's like, imagine if they took the Game of Thrones throne.
Yeah, the Iron Throne.
Yeah, and they just made it out of game parts and stuff. It's actually, it's an interesting looking thing, right? But every time they go to, you know, like they have like this, they have like the beginning segment, you know, and then that sets up the, you know, whoever is going to fight to get voted off the show kind of thing at the end of the show. And at the end, when it's the two nerds facing off, and I believe it's called the Nerd Off, if I'm remembering correctly, they actually, and they have some sort of contest, and pardon me, Curtis Armstrong owns it, and he just goes, the winner, you know, it, yeah. you know, you're fighting to sit atop the throne of games. And then there's this, oh, this fanfare music, and they do all of these swooping different angle shots, mm-hmm. totally pre-shot. They're not doing a lot of the throne of games from all these different angles, right? Curtis and Robert, Curtis Armstrong and Robert Carradine are standing together. But when he says throne of games, and they stand back and they, you know, they throw their arms up indicating the throne of games kind of thing. And when they stand back together after this huge fanfare, Curtis Armstrong just goes, the loser will go home immediately. I don't know what it is about it that is so fucking strikingly hysterical to me. I laugh out loud every time that it happens. It's ridiculous. So check it out. I check your local listings because I don't know when exactly it's on. Yeah. I think it's
is it on Science Channel?
No, it's like TNT or TBS or one of them. I don't know. Check your local listings. King of the Nerds is what it's called. I think it's real. No, I think it's entertaining. It's stupid, but it's entertaining. Right. Hey, we all watched Beauty and the Geek.
Yeah, apparently.
And this is at least a little bit more funny than that one.
All right.
So that's number one. And then number two, I'll get on it even shorter. The number two one, I'm sorry, it almost pains me to bring this up. Have you seen on Sci-Fi Channel the Robot Combat League?
No, it started last week, and I wanted to watch it. And I did. I missed it.
Robot Combat League, hosted by Chris Jericho.
Oh, Jesus.
Of WWE fame.
Is it good? Is it terrible?
It is Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
What was the other robot battle? BattleBots or what was that other
battle
show?
BattleBots. Yeah, but that was like that show. That's what these dudes were actually. Those guys were building those robots.
Yeah.
And they were mostly wheeled kind of things, right. And they were bashing each other around. Fine. This is one guy, right, who is not any of the contestants who built all of these different robots for the show. He's like some robot builder guy. And he built robots to fight each other. They have a long – I mean, we haven't gotten to the real steel era of robot combat yet, if you've all seen that glorious Hugh Jackman movie. We're kind of at the point still where the robot is kind of tethered.
Right,
so he
has
a big tether coming out of the back of him. I mean, if you can imagine, if you took like a hockey stick and shoved it up somebody's ass, and then there was a T at the bottom of that's kind of what it is. And the robots walk, and they actually walk. That's how you're moving the robot is he walks. And then they all have different styles and so on and so forth. And then they're kind of fighting. Now, it's drama'd up a little. I think they built the robots to be drama'd up a little. And they're not built not to fall apart. So the point is that when you got robots, I mean, they're legit. And they're slugging it out. And, you know, like, they're bashing and shit happen. I mean, it's funny. But overall, it still looks a little hokey. 10-15 years from now,
it really is Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
It really is kind of Rock'em Sock'em Robots. That's awesome. Yeah. Now let's talk a few details. Chris Jericho, the host. There's some color commentator guy who I know from something I
That's
can't
not
place.
Polite.
What? Color commentator?
Oh, sorry.
Racist.
I misheard you.
So each robot has a jock.
Right.
Who I think is the guy who does the punching part, and then the other guy does the movement part.
All right, it's just like a puppet.
Yeah, it's like a team. Kind of puppet boxing. Yeah, it's kind of like a puppet, I guess, And two people control it. And now, normally, you'd probably watch an episode or two of this, and it's kind of like, I kind of like some aspects of Real Steel.
Right.
In this particular regard, the robot combat part of it and everything's popular and blah, blah, blah. And it was kind of like, it was interesting in that frame. Then I saw who one of the jocks is.
Who is it?
It's George Lucas's daughter.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
The one who's the MMA fighter.
Yeah,
with
the
10-1 record. This is his first adopted daughter. I don't think it's Amanda. I think it's the other one.
I don't remember.
I can't remember her name. But she's a little brutal.
Yeah, well,
just saying. But that said, she hasn't fought yet, but they have shown footage of Lucas being there when his daughter's thing is fighting. So I was like, I'm waiting to see how that rolls out, first of all.
Well, it's called the Robot League and not the Droid League.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure that he probably wouldn't license it.
Exactly.
But she, I mean, she's no slouch on her own. You know, they showed like footage of her fights and stuff, and it's like she's no slouch.
Yeah, yeah.
But that said, I just found that really, really interesting.
Maybe that one I might actually check out.
And they have some other, they have some Olympic athletes, and they have some, you know, some of the jock guys are like, I built the Mars rover kind of guys. You know, like, it's really, it's interesting. The whole thing is sort of, I'm not captivated where I'm like, I gotta watch this show! But I'm at least checking it out because I've been, like, laughing and being entertained. So, the point of this segment, I think, is to say, you know, sometimes if things look a little ridiculous, you might just want to check your brain at the door and just give it a shot. Let, you know, laugh about something. At least it's something related to us and we're not watching, you know, like the fucking Bachelor.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, like I'm just thinking it's something we're much more likely to identify with the people on King of the Nerds.
It sounds
like. And
the
concept of robot combat than we are The Bachelor or Dancing with the Stars.
It sounds like I would rather watch either of those shows than Comic Book Men. Because I can't watch that show. That show.
Unwatchable.
I know there are people who listen to the show that love that show.
Right.
That show infuriates me. And is so boring to me.
And
I love Kevin Smith. I am a Kevin Smith fan. Yay, Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
I cannot watch that show.
And I
think it's nothing to do with Kevin Smith that I can't watch that show.
Right.
It's the other guys on the show that I can't watch.
Yeah, and let's give it its just due. All of these shows are fake.
Oh, of course.
Every one of them. Pawn Stars, American Pickers, Comic Book Men, Toy Hunter, all Cajun Pawn Stars, all the ones that you watch and we enjoy, and some of those I just mentioned I actually watch regularly, they're all fake. They're all set up and they're all phony. So the problem with Comic Book Men, it is the most phony.
I don't even know if that's what it is, but that's certainly part of it.
To me, it's so obviously phony, and it's so obviously trying so hard not to look phony that it looks more phony.
Those guys are just so...
And
they're
then
just unlikable.
I know.
Dicks.
And then they tack on Kevin Smith to kind of, you know, kind of throw in the star appeal, I think.
Well, let's.
And Ming is a nice guy.
Ming
is always taking care of us in every aspect.
That's great. But the other two are cockbags.
Yeah, three.
What? Well, yeah. Steve. Yeah.
Steve, Walt, and the other guy.
And the other guy. All right. Let's move on.
Steve Dave.
Batman and Robin.
Uh-huh.
Starting with the next issue of Batman and Robin, which is 18, and that's next week, and going for 5 or 6 issues, Batman is going to be pairing with a different member of the Bat family each
issue.
So it's...
Batman and Batgirl. Batman and Batwing.
Yeah. So Batman 18 is... the description I read was a final appearance of Damian Wayne in a silent, meaning without word, balloons issue. So it's some sort of homage to Damian and what Bruce is going through afterwards. Then an issue in 19, it's Batman and Red Robin, followed by Batman and the Red Hood, followed by Batman and Batgirl, followed by Batman and Catwoman, followed by Batman and Nightwing.
Followed by Batman and the Red Hood.
And then where it goes from there, we don't know. But anyway, I thought that was interesting.
And
it makes sense, because I knew there was no way they were going to cancel Batman and Robin outright.
Hey, here's something I've been thinking about.
Sure.
Grandpa has a Lazarus pit.
Yeah, I know. I actually don't think they're going to go that route.
No?
No. I honestly think they're going to keep him dead, at least for a while. I think so.
I got a few words for you.
What?
Bucky is one.
Yeah. He was dead for a while.
He was.
Before he came back. How many years was he dead?
Quite a few.
20?
Was
it more than that?
How about, Barry, what's his name, The Flash?
He was dead for a while, too.
Okay, just saying.
I'm not saying he's never coming back. And even Jason Todd was dead for a decent amount of time before he came back. It's not like he came back within a year. He was dead for at least, 10 years at least, probably, somewhere in that ballpark?
Colossus
is a little bit shorter, but even he was dead for at least a couple years. I'm just saying, I don't think Damian Wayne is coming back before the end of the year.
Superman.
Superman can't die. That's a bunch of shit. Just like Batman. Fucking Batman. Anyway.
He wasn't dead. He was broken.
Didn't he die, too?
Oh, yeah, he did.
He was dead for a year, two years. And what's his name was Batman for a year.
Everybody.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. And what I'm calling the most sad and depressing news this week, and what I'm calling the it brought tears to my eyes when I read it news this week, according to Brian Singer, Halle Berry is back. Storm and X-Men Days of Future.
Why?
Because God hates us.
Why? Did she demand more lines this time?
I don't know. I hope
they, fuck her.
I hope they kill her in the first 5 minutes. I hope they throw her off a building.
That was a rumor this week that Jennifer Lawrence has demanded more screen time as Mystique.
Yes, I heard that.
Now that she is Oscar, now that, because it's going to be X-Men Days of Future Past featuring Oscar award winner Jennifer Lawrence.
In an interview this week with Palm Beach Illustrated, whatever the fuck that is, with Carrie Fisher, they flat out ask her if she's going to be returning in episode 7, and she flat out says, yes. Yes, I am. So there you go.
And then she said, somebody get this jelly donut off my head! Because she's insane.
So there it is. Hey, look, it's the first time any one of them themselves has firmly said yes. Everybody's been skirting around it. So, of course, what really the big thing about that is, if she said yes, the chatter was, well, everybody else is soon to fall in line. Because most of them have agreed that they won't do it unless everybody's doing it. So we'll see.
Right.
Even Billy Dee Williams, I think, was asked last week. And he was like, but everybody else is doing it, I'll do it. Billy Dee Williams. What was the last thing I saw? Was it an episode of, was it NCIS? Bones? Psych? He was
something,
on some show
right.
last season.
Probably Psych.
Two more things. I love Psych. It's a great show. Two more things. Chris Sprouse is an artist at DC. He was supposed to be working on the digital series The Adventures of Superman that is supposed to come out later this year. But amidst the controversy surrounding the writer for one of the segments for The Adventures of Superman.
Adolf Hitler?
No, but some people are comparing him to that, although erroneously so.
J. Michael Straczynski?
No. Orson Scott Card.
Oh. Really?
Yeah. So the reason, in case you don't know,
okay.
Orson Scott Card is really not okay with the gays.
I did not know that.
And the gay marriage. He's spoken out about it like 10 or 11 years ago.
Wow.
And has continued to speak out about it. In 2009, he joined
Ender's Game.
A lot of people like Ender's Game. In 2009, he joined the board of directors of the National Organization for Marriage, which is obviously their like lead tenant is opposing same-sex marriage. That same year, he penned an opinion piece for the Mormon Times in which he argued marriage has only one definition. And any government that attempts to change it is my mortal enemy. I will act to destroy that government and bring it down. In another column last year, he referred to homosexuality as a reproductive dysfunction born of choice and not, you know, genetics or whatnot. So naturally, this has caused quite an uproar. And actually, I forget what production house is doing the Ender's Game movie. Right now. But there's an Ender's Game movie in the works right now, too.
Yeah.
And they're also starting to, like, back away from him, perhaps reduce his involvement.
Right.
Because it's a lot of bad publicity. So now, my opinion. The man has the right to be a dickhead. In the country we live in, he has the absolute right to be a dickhead.
Yeah.
The flip side of the coin is, the community has an absolute right to not endorse anything that he does.
That's true, too.
So... You know, he wants to oppose it. That's his opinion.
Right.
People don't want to support the work that he's participating in because he's opposing it. They're entitled to that opinion as well. I don't agree with his opinion. I think, you know.
Let's put it in perspective.
But, you know.
Let's put it in perspective. Okay. There was another science fiction movie came out several years ago.
Yeah.
Right? Didn't stop anybody from going to see it by who the author was.
Which was?
Battlefield Earth.
Oh.
Oh, wait. It stopped everybody from going to see it because it sucked a dick.
Actually, Battlefield Earth, a lot of people went and saw it and then was like, what the fuck? I didn't realize.
How did you get a religion out of this?
I didn't realize when I saw it. I didn't realize until after I saw it, because I think I saw it opening weekend, that it was pretty much a blowjob to Scientology. Like, I didn't realize that it was an homage to that nonsense. Anyway. All right. Target.
I believe in the freedom of science fiction.
Sure enough. Target, the store.
Uh-huh. Not the Luke Chew piece.
They have a series of Justice League figures that are exclusive to them. Have you seen these?
No.
They're like, what if DC's new 52 character designs had an illegitimate love child with the Brave and the Bold? If you can imagine that.
I can't.
Okay. Let's put the show on hold for a second. All right, so you can kind of see what they look like?
Yeah, I get it.
So there's already there's four figures that are out already. Batman, Superman, Flash, and Green Lantern.
Okay.
And then there is going to be a seven-figure set, which will include those four, plus Aquaman, Wonder Woman, and Cyborg. Retail value is $50.
Wow.
That's a lot, and I don't think they're that good, to be honest with you. Well, but I thought it was interesting that there was a Target exclusive. I mean, I kind of like the Batman figure. I don't really care for any of the rest of them, but there it is. I think that's it. Do you have any other news?
I just said we should talk about while we were on break, and I forgot it.
Oh, SimCity?
Oh, yeah. SimCity was
Some people are having problems with it.
What kind of problem?
I don't know. I thought I saw some people today having, like, buggy issues with it. Maybe
You know why? Because it just came out for the PC.
Right.
The Mac port
is in a couple months.
It's not a port.
Oh, it's a
fully native version for Mac. That's one of the things I was going to bring up. So this is the first time where they're not just porting the PC version over. It's going to be a full native version for Mac.
Okay.
I saw it. It is amazing.
Is it going to be console also or PC?
No, I haven't heard about any console release. Just PC and Mac. Well, PC right now, Mac later. I know a lot of people who have Macs.
I kind of want to play.
Oh, my God. And it's all – here's something a little different. It's all online.
Yeah, I heard that.
So when you're building the city, I mean, you can build it, like, private and not really connected.
Yeah.
But you are – if you play on a server, you're building a city in that server that will be affected by the cities around it.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of get a region – that has a number of cities that you can build, and I think you can have a number of regions as well.
I kind of want to play.
It looks amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing, OG.
It's been a long time since I played a SimCity game.
I'm telling you, I watched it. I mean, yesterday a friend of mine at work had it, brought it, you know, bootcamped his Mac laptop to do it and was playing it. It was phenomenal.
Lovely.
Yeah, so check that out. I don't know. It's Maxis Games, I think. Try SimCity.com. I'm sure it's there. Google it.
All right. Let's take our first break.
Yes, OG, and we will take that break, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 279, Rumor Hasn't or Tangent.
Ahoy, ahoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. After much anticipation, Sony has announced their new home video game console, the PlayStation 4. And despite discussion that the PlayStation 4 might be named something else, since the word 4 sounds so close to the word death in Japanese, Sony said, "Grow up, you superstitious idiots. It's called PlayStation 4. Change your alphabet if you don't like it." Leading up to the event, I told GamesRadar's Hollander Cooper they would only show a logo, the console form factor, and a few technical demos at best. And wow, was I wrong. Sony talked about the technical specs, which includes a non-cell-based processor, which was the heart of PlayStation 3, in a move to be easier for the developers to program, and a whopping 8GB of GDDR5 RAM. If you're not familiar, you should be very impressed. Sony went on to talk about the controller's new features, the DualShock 4, which included a slightly evolved form factor. It wasn't broke, but they didn't fix much. But now includes a touchpad in the middle of the controller, with a surface similar to something you'd find on the back of a PlayStation Vita. How it will be used is still up to developers, but it's a great touch. No pun intended. There's also a light sensor on the top of the DualShock controller, so it could be used like a Move controller. Yes, they're still pushing the move. And the final addition is the share button, which when pressed brings up a menu so you can scan the last few minutes of your gameplay, select the part of the game you want to share, a screenshot or video, and share it with your friends. The PlayStation 4 console itself was not shown because Sony said they'd like to save something for E3 in June, which makes you wonder if there's something unique about it and it's not just a black box. Maybe if you set your controller on top, it recharges the battery? Maybe there's a dock of some kind? Who knows? Speculate away! There is one bullet point that's still pretty vague, so I'm not going to talk too much about it, and that's the streaming service Sony bought, Gaikai. It's a technology that lets you play games and demos, but not from a disc, but from an internet stream. Experience with other similar services, like OnLive, proves this technology works in theory, but the lag is still a big issue for multiple factors. So it exists. Sony spent $500 million on the technology, but until I see it works, I'm still skeptical. Streaming a PlayStation 2 game? Sure. Streaming a PlayStation 4 game? I don't know. And finally, Sony showed off what people really care about, the games. The games that were shown were Knack, Killzone, Shadowfall, Drive Club, Infamous, Second Son, Deep Down, and Watch Dogs. All looked really great, but didn't give me that huge wow factor I was expecting from a next-generation console. Albeit, these are trailers for unfinished launch titles, so you can't criticize or praise them too much one way or the other. But all you need to know is the console looks very impressive, the games are going to look amazing in time, and you really should want one. The PlayStation 4 is due out this holiday, 2013, probably right before Black Friday. This is CokeLogic signing off for GameStop.
And we are back with Big Kim's Geek Stuff, episode 279. Rumor has it, or tangent.
You decide.
That's right.
You decide.
It's like a choose-your-own-adventure.
It is. You can actually give the GVM line a call.
425-920-6050.
And then you can tell us what you think the episode should have been called, and then we'll change it appropriately.
And I'm going to remind everybody again. So please check out the Amazon link.
I think you're over-pushing the Amazon.
I'm not pushing the Amazon.
I'm just saying.
I'm saying that we have some new hardware upgrades that we want to do in the near future.
Need to do.
That will be bringing new aspects back to the show.
That's true.
And the Amazon link.
Is helping that out.
Is helping that out.
You're about, what month is this?
I'm in March.
This is March, so that's number three. You're 4.5 months early.
On the
Begathon.
I know. I'm just saying. All right.
Geek stuff. Comics, books, and graphic novels.
DVDs.
No, silly goose.
I know. I was just missing that segment.
No, don't miss it. There's nothing to miss.
I know. It really isn't.
Comic books.
I'll actually have one next week, though, that I want to
talk
about.
We have one this week, but we don't need a whole segment.
I know. I'm just saying. There's actually, now that we canceled it, there was like an amazing release that happened.
It happens.
Okay, sorry.
Comic books.
Yes, the only one for me this week, OG, was Detective.
Number 18,
yes.
Yes, this continues, of course, the storyline involving the Penguin and the Emperor Penguin character. It's Detective's been pretty good. It's picked up and it's gotten pretty good.
And it looks like it also ties in with the whole Robin is Dead thing.
I haven't thumbed through it at all yet.
Yep.
Detective is a digital purchase for me, so that means I probably won't be getting it for a couple weeks yet.
Oh.
But anyway.
Is it a digital purchaser, or is
acquisition? No, digital purchase.
Wait, so you only...
Batman Incorporated number 8, that was a digital acquisition.
Gotcha.
Batman Detective Comics number 18, that'll be a digital purchase.
Gotcha. I see how it works.
Green Arrow 18, also out this week. Fantastic. Last issue was great. This issue looks like it's going to be good again. I haven't had a chance to read it, but definitely want to check that out.
Does he still have the cute arrow gun?
No, sir. Remember, we have the new creative team as of last issue, and it's actually really good. Superior Spider-Man number 5 is out this week, so we'll check that out as well.
No, we won't.
And then in trades this week, there are two.
Oh?
Rocketeer Cargo of Doom hardcover came out this week.
Yeah, I didn't see that. Somehow Retailer X...
I didn't physically see it. I saw it on the preview site on their release list for this week, so I got to check that out. The other thing I want to check out, because even though I've read it, I don't think I own it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've never read this before, now is a great opportunity
to
read this. But Batman Gotham by Gaslight is out again in trade.
In seventh printing, I'm sure.
It doesn't matter. As many times as it gets printed, every time, if a couple of new readers pick it
up, that's true.
It's a really good Elseworlds.
It is.
It's
one of the ones they should have did more with.
Yeah, I'm surprised they never revisited it, especially nowadays. You would think that with, like, the love for Victorian era and steampunk.
Right.
That, like,
perfect way to
someone
go.
Someone would pick up and decide to do a Gotham by Gaslight miniseries.
Yeah.
I'd read it.
I would,
sure.
too.
But definitely check that out. Out this week.
Also, OG, I think Mouse Templar volume.
Mice Templar, Mice yes, Templar. Is out this week yeah. as well.
Mouse Temple, Mice Templar. It's Mouse Guard, Mice yes. Templar, volume 3, which I still think is a pretty good book.
Yeah,
it's no Mouse Guard.
Well, what is?
But you honest. Know, it is mice with swords.
It is
so,
mice with swords.
Oh, there you are.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Product.
We have a couple things this week, right?
You want to go first?
I
or do
guess.
Do you want to break it up? How
no,
you break
I
it
mean
up?
We. I just want to quickly follow up on our segment from last week. Okay. Oh, actually, I got two things this week.
Oh,
I
you guess. Do?
Yeah.
So you quickly, go first, Walter.
Yeah. I want to quickly follow up on last week's segment regarding the Huck G post-apocalypse Dunny series.
Yes.
I have three in studio.
I see that, jerk.
What? I got lucky.
I know. I got nothing.
I have the feral. Girl, guy with the Wolverine claws?
I think it's a dude.
Yeah, that's really cool.
But they don't have a... There's now, there's no names to these characters.
Well, right? Actually, on Huck G's website today, on his blog, he posted the names of some of the characters, oh. and I can't match them all up. Like, for example, Pretty Entertainment Girl Model A and Model B. I'm pretty positive that's the... That is the, like...
You have Pretty Entertainment Girl...
One or the other. That is the that's like the geisha Cyberman robot looking dudes.
Okay, okay, gotcha. Or chicks.
Right. And then there's Copter Boy and Copter Girl, which
yeah.
I don't have, but if you look at the package art, you
right.
can see which ones they are.
I want Copter Boy.
The copter yeah, helicopter bit on their head.
I like that.
Right? And then there's UMTC Heavy Trooper, Enclave Penny, and Sergeant Vasquez. So those are the three
cyborgs looking ones there.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. And then there's and then I can't match up the Violent Running Tribe, the Skullheads Baseball, and Boso. I don't know which those are. I'm guessing those are the ones with the skull masks.
Okay.
So the Mohawk skull mask is one of them.
Right.
I don't know why it's baseball, or maybe this isn't baseball, maybe this is Boso. I'm not exactly sure.
Let me see. Oh, I have the box.
Oh, yeah. It says actually on his back, it says Violent Running. 2013 on his little jersey that he's wearing.
Uh-huh.
So that's definitely these pieces. And then there's also Sanjuro the Ronin. So I'm guessing that is the other one that you want, which is the guy with the long pipe.
Oh yeah, I like that
piece,
guy.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And then there's Zamdam Hicks and Zamdam Hicks the Kaneda variant. I'm assuming those are the two Rhino pieces.
Whoa. The Kaneda variant?
K-A-N-E-D-A, yeah, Kaneda.
That's Kaneda.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. What? How could...
The only... I don't know. Maybe it's because he's in red.
Maybe I do want a Rhino version.
I don't know.
Oh, that looks like Kaneda's outfit.
And then, of course... Yeah, so I'm guessing one. The chase figure, the other chase figure,
uh-huh.
the blacked out figure, that's the other Violent Running Tribe piece. I'm
okay.
guessing. So...
He looks like he's holding a gun in the silhouette.
Actually, it looks like it's either a gun... Yeah, maybe it is a gun. Maybe it's a shotgun.
Yeah, like a sawed-off. It's
yeah.
like the Road Warrior.
Yeah. So there you go.
All right, so there's at least a couple of these that I want to get.
Yeah, look, I got three. Initially, I wasn't thrilled with them. I probably want to get more from the line, but...
I do.
I do like the line.
Cool. Yeah, and let's move on into... You know, we talk a lot about Sideshow Collectibles. We say a lot of great things about Sideshow Collectibles. And I'm going to tell you, without hyperbole, this is probably, in my opinion, I think OG joins me a little bit in this opinion, this is probably the best 12-inch Star Wars figure that Sideshow has ever done. It may be the best Star Wars 12-inch figure that I've ever seen. And the fact that it's not a really big character kind of makes it even more interesting. This is Bossk.
I don't know if I'd say it's the best I've ever seen or the best they've ever done.
Well, certainly one
but
of them.
I think it definitely ranks up there
yeah.
as being an epic piece.
Epic. I got the Sideshow exclusive edition, which has the snarling mouth. Is that the difference here between this and the regular edition?
Yes, I believe the difference is snarling mouth.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if the... let's see. Just a snarling Bossk head for alternate display.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it says for the... So, yeah, okay. I was wondering if the other set of feet might be part of that exclusive, but
no
that is part of regular release.
So,
yeah.
Two sets of feet, two sets of interchangeable hands. And his weapon, that sort of blaster rifle-looking weapon thing that he has. This figure is amazing. The sculpting is amazing. They nailed the costume perfectly. All the tiny little details that none of us know what they are. Yeah. They're like little lines and little things. It kind of looks like, am I wrong? It kind of looks like a flight suit, X-Wing flight suit.
I'm going to read Sideshow's description.
Intricate
pressure suit and flak vest with gaskets and fittings, and then two interchangeable hands, feet, bonus head, Relby V10 micro grenade launcher, Prometheus 1.2 body featuring newly sculpted Trandoshan forearms and lower legs.
Right, right.
Oh, okay, so that's the new sculpt.
Because he's a Trandoshan.
Right. And then I think that's it. And then there's also a new a new stand, I think.
Yeah, it looks that way. Yeah, that's a new stand. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's great. So this is fully detailed, fully rendered, perfect. I think I'm standing by my what I'm saying here, OG. I think this is probably to date, this is probably the best 6-scale or 12-inch figure that Sideshow has done for Star Wars. I mean, it's great to get a trooper that has perfect armor and everything is there and well represented and everything. But when you get into the level of detail of this kind of character, and there haven't been a lot of characters like this, I'd say probably the best one before this that I would say was the best one was probably IG-88.
Which is also awesome.
Which is an amazing piece. But this one, there's something about the detail and the sculpting and they haven't had an opportunity to say, all right, here's a piece where we can excel at representation of the character and sculpting and having it all be in one place.
Let me tell you what stands out for me.
Okay.
The regular edition of this piece, while certainly fantastic,
uh-huh.
The snarling head, which we don't see in the film, because in the right,
yeah,
in the film, his head is kind of
He's just a,
latex masky But even if you look at like the image in the film, it's kind of, you could see the image on that bottom panel.
Uh-huh.
The snarling head, that angry Bosk. I don't want to meet that dude in an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
He is scary as fuck.
And you know what? The only opportunity we really had to see any Trandoshan sort of represented outside of Bosk's 2-second appearance in Empire Strikes Back was Bosk in the Clone Wars.
Right.
When he is training a young Boba Fett.
Right.
So that gave us a little bit more insight into the character. But again, I just don't think Sideshow has had the opportunity or had a lot of opportunities. No, I'm really going to say really hasn't had this deep of an opportunity to really kind of show what they can do. Real cloth costume, all the little aspects are represented, individual but well represented. Multiple hands, he's got the weapon. I mean, this is a piece you'll be proud to display in your collection, whether you're putting together bounty hunters or you're, you know, whatever you're doing with these figures. This one, I really think they have gone above and beyond, and I'm proud that we're able to be able to talk about this piece today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an awesome, awesome piece.
Yeah. What do they have a retail price on there?
$160.
And is he sold out, the regular edition?
I don't believe that he is. He's in stock. Oh, no. The exclusive is in stock as well.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So the exclusive is $160 as well?
Yes, sir.
You should definitely go to SideshowToy.com. You're a Bounty Hunter fan. You're a Star Wars fan. You're a Bosk fan. This is part of their Scum and Villainy line of Star Wars 12-inch figures. And you should definitely head over there and check it out.
I just got to say that both of these are in stock. Regular and limited. Uh-huh. And both are the same price. So why you would not get
the limited one.
The limited one is beyond me.
I mean, if you have the opportunity to display this character with a different sort of head than the...
Wow.
Yes?
The edition size on the limited edition one is significantly lower than the regular edition. Regular edition is 3,000.
Right. That's really, about right.
But that's not really limited, let's be honest. But
3,000 is pretty limited, sir.
$1,250
on the exclusive?
Yeah, I mean, that's less than half.
And the fact that they have some of those left, I think, is a glaring sign that you need to head over there and check it out. Look, I know a lot of people who are Star Wars fans who don't collect a lot of things, but sometimes you know, they pick little niche things like they just like the bounty hunters.
Right.
Like they just want to have a little setup in their office or their home.
I've met guys, and I don't know that I've ever seen their collections, but I've met guys who are just IG-88 collectors.
Yeah, totally.
Which is like...
Totally.
I mean, he's a great character, but really,
we know one dude in England, all he does is collect Fett stuff, Jango
right.
or Boba.
Yeah.
One crazy individual in England, a lunatic, psychopath.
Did you see the photos of him in the Dalek?
In the Dalek, yeah, I saw okay. them. Very funny.
We love you, Matt.
Yeah, we'll never see him in the Dalek because we can't go to England because we're poor.
Anyway.
Again, the point of this is what I'm saying is that if this is one of those things that you always dug, like I always loved that 8 seconds of film with the bounty hunters all
sure,
there.
Who didn't?
Who didn't? And this is one of the opportunities you have to get now. Now, this is the third bounty hunter that I think they've released, that Sideshow's released. They did an awesome Boba Fett. They did a groundbreaking, in my opinion, IG-88. And now they've done this amazing Bosk. So, OG, who does that leave? Go.
Forlom,
uh-huh.
And the one they keep on confusing for Forlom.
Yes, do you know it? Starts with Z.
Oh, shit, I cannot remember. Zuckus.
Zuckus, very good. Forlom, Zuckus.
IGD, Boba Fett, Bosk.
One more.
Who am I missing?
Oh, you'll think of it.
Oh, Dengar.
Dengar, right. So you have, so a word to Sideshow. You have now done one half of the amazing right. bounty hunters that appeared in that particular scene. I say, where are the rest of
and
them?
And I believe in some of the photos that you're going to be looking at of this boss from the Sideshow website that
right.
I pulled from their press room actually has a little display of IG-88, Boba Fett, and Boss.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so you know that leads me to believe that maybe the other ones are on the horizon.
Well, I would hope so.
Look, you can't go halfway.
That's what I said.
Sideshow doesn't go halvesies.
I know that's true, and I'm just wondering, I haven't heard. I was surprised. I don't think I had heard much about them doing Bosk, and then it was kind of just happening, and then
right.
he was here. So maybe they're kind of like secretly, kind of like rolling them out, kind of under the radar.
I'm going to be honest with you. Since Sideshow stopped going to Toy Fair, and since I stopped going to San Diego, I feel as though I have been woefully behind on a lot of Sideshow releases.
Okay.
I feel like I can't keep up with it. So
right.
for all I know, they've announced Dengar, Zuckus, and Forlom.
You know what they did announce?
And I didn't know about
you
it.
You know what they did announce?
What?
The Darth Vader...
Mythos? I know. It's amazing.
Unbelievable.
I cry when I look at it.
Because
I want it and just can't afford it. But it's amazing. I've become very focused in my Star Wars collecting.
I know.
There are three characters that I collect,
uh-huh.
or two characters in one character type that I collect. But I would actually buy all of those Mythos pieces, given the opportunity and the funds.
I understand.
Just saying.
I hear you.
Let's move forward.
They're going to start hitting soon, and we're going to be able to start talking about those. And, oh, man,
I can't wait.
Well,
this is the third one. Vader's the third one.
Wait, no.
Obi-Wan?
Fourth one.
Obi-Wan?
No.
Maul?
No, Maul first.
Okay.
Vader. Obi-Wan?
And who am I missing?
Boba Fett.
Oh, I didn't see. I don't know if I saw Boba Fett.
Oh, my God, standing with the giant rifle.
Oh, I'll have to. I don't know if I've seen that one.
It's amazing.
Let's move on.
Yes, sir.
Can we move on?
Yes, sir.
Luke Chu. Friend of the show?
Friend of you, maybe. I don't have a Luke Chu book.
I didn't get it from Luke Chu. I bought that, sir.
I'm just saying.
And he sent you that lovely postcard set, and he also sent you one of his lovely San Diego exclusives. You should be grateful.
He did?
Yeah, the cartridge piece.
Oh, yeah.
So, there you go. Don't be mean to Luke Chu.
I'm just saying, I really like the bear stuff.
Luke Chu is a sweetheart. Let's talk about, before we talk about the bear stuff, let's talk about what we're going to be giving away.
Oh, yes, a Luke Chu giveaway right here.
This week's episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. This is...
This week's giveaway of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, sponsored by Luke Chu.
This is a set of 5. Now, technically, I believe these are postcards. But I'm not calling them postcards.
Okay.
I'm calling them mini prints.
Mini prints.
Because I've bought prints and seen prints that are this size. And these are completely frameable. Nice cardstock, nice color, very lovely.
Right.
It is 5.
5.
I'm sorry, 6.
Okay, and they're all really sad.
Each one signed.
Really?
On the back, yeah. He signed them on the back.
Oh.
Each one is signed.
Okay. Front might have been.
And they're named. It's the there are two. The two bear ones are the sushi series sashimi and hand roll. That is a bear claw.
Now I get it.
And then the three of the other ones are Revenge is a Dish. Revenge is a Dish served with mustard. The dog, hot dog. Revenge is a
ketchup. Though.
I'm sorry. There's a variant.
Oh, there's a variant?
Yeah. Well, Revenge is a Dish served medium rare, which is the cow.
Okay, OG's going to put up images.
I asked for scrambled, which is the chicken. And then the Revenge is a Dish served mustard is, one of them is the pig with the ham and mustard.
Uh-huh.
And one of them is the hot dog with ketchup.
But there's both in this set.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Oh.
It's a full set, but it's just a variant on the title.
Oh, I see.
They're both Revenge is a Dish served with mustard. Anyway, so
they're sad.
They are sad.
No, it's like, all right, I want to give a description
for some people
who are just going to.
I was going to get there, but go for it.
Okay, so it's like the cow.
Yeah.
So what's the cow one called? Medium rare?
Medium rare, I think it is.
Revenge is a Dish served medium rare.
Yeah.
It's a sad little cow and a sadder, littler cow.
Right.
Sitting at a table, looking really sad at a steak with a carton of milk next to it.
Uh-huh.
Right? Let's talk about
Revenge for Scrambled.
I asked for scrambled. Okay. It's a chicken looking really sad at a plate of eggs.
Over easy.
They're sad.
They are
what is
fun.
With Luke Chew?
Sad bear, emo. Luke Chew, he's an emo dude.
Luke Chew, Revenge is a Dish served with mustard. It's a pig and a little piglet looking at a ham steak with a little thing of mustard on the table. And hot dog is the only one I think is kind of funny, depending on what Luke is trying to say here. Revenge is a Dish served with mustard, except that there's ketchup and not mustard. It's a dog
right.
looking sadly at a hot dog.
Right.
So I think what Luke Chew is trying to say here is that maybe we don't know the origin of everything in a hot dog. Luke Chew, here's a piece I'd like you to do. I would like you to do a sad little horse.
Yeah.
Sitting at a table.
Swedish meatballs.
Looking at IKEA Swedish meatballs or the variant, a Taco Bell taco. There. I have now inspired your art, Luke Chew. I don't have a book. Let's say also there's a postcard in here.
There are two
for
more.
Luke Chew's Target alternate colorway. Monkey King presents a signing and release party Saturday, March 16th, 2013, from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m.
Right.
It's signed by Luke Chew. Monkey King is at 4505 West Jefferson Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90016. You can go to Monkey King at munkyking.com or Luke Chew, LukeCheuEh.com for more information about that.
I really want. Let's take a tangent.
Okay.
I really want all three of those Target bears. I believe there are three now.
I want just one Target bear.
I really like this colorway.
I like this one too.
Let's go back to the mini prints real quick.
Okay.
You left out two.
The Shashimi series,
which is the bear
uh-huh.
with Shashimi, which is his arm cut to look like Shashimi, and the hand roll.
But he's at the table. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's at the poor sad bear.
He got the little chopsticks.
He's sitting at the table with the hand roll.
Yeah.
And his other hand is missing.
Right.
And then he's sitting at his arm is missing, but it's laid out in front of him like sashimi.
Yeah. So the story behind these goes, and Luke can correct me because I'm trying to recall this from memory from what I saw on Toy Break when he was on there and talked about these.
Uh-huh.
But I believe he was in Japan. Maybe China?
Okay.
And he saw that someone was ripping him off, was doing artwork that was really similar to his.
Really?
So what he did so the bear is kind of his iconic character. And he saw someone that was doing artwork with, like, the chicken and the pig. So he took the ripped-off work,
right.
reclaimed it, tweaked it, and remade it his own,
right.
and put out the print set. These print sets are available. You can get them by shooting an email to Luke Chew, it's LukeCheueh@gmail.com, And he will sell you a set. I believe they are $10 a set.
Oh, that's cool.
I believe they are $10 a set.
Nice.
But I could be wrong on that price. But shoot Luke an email. The set is definitely worth it. We are going to be giving away a set.
Oh.
On the show. We're going to be giving away via the Twitter.
Oh, the Twitter.
We like the Twitter.
Are we going to have some sort of judgeable contest?
No, it's going to be a random follower.
Random.
Yep. You're going to have to follow us. You're going to have to follow Luke. And
make a comment. They're gonna make some kind of comment.
Yeah, we'll have some fun hashtag to throw in there.
Okay,
and we'll give this away.
And have we announced where the Big Kev's Geek Stuff colorway of the Target Bear available in our store is going to happen?
No, and that's not happening, sir.
Oh,
we're gonna make the
that seems a sore topic to you.
We're gonna make the winner. No, it's not a sore topic. We're gonna announce the winner. So you're gonna have until March 20th, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to enter this contest.
Nice.
Look for the episode post on the website. All the rules will be there.
Which big web? Which website is that, sir?
BigKevsGeeks.com.
Wow, that is maybe the fastest everyone has ever said our website. BigKevsGeeks.com.
But you understood it more or less.
I did because I've known you for 2 or 3 years. Yeah,
we have one more thing to talk about.
Were we supposed to discuss that George comment in the second half of the show today?
Oh yeah,
I really said Megan Fox was unattractive. I
believe so.
I don't think that's true. Can we put the show on pause for a second?
How about you talk about talking about that. Right, I'm going to do a little bit of research while you're doing that.
So we want to close out the product segment today with yet another fantastic Kotobukiya Artifacts Star Wars piece. This is Boba Fett. And no, you're not getting deja vu from a while ago. They did put out a Artifacts Boba Fett. I think it was last year, and it was the Cloud City Boba Fett. This is actually the Return of the Jedi variant, which has the different color scheme on it. If you know anything about Boba Fett, you know that he did have a different color scheme in Jedi than he did from the color scheme he had in Empire. Four arms give you two options here. You can either have him firing the flamethrower or the small wrist rocket type, whatever that arsenal is that he has on his left arm.
Right.
Or he can be firing or holding up his rifle. Interchangeable arms allow for alternate pose, it says on the box. So you can have it either way. I have to be honest with you, that's a tough choice because you want to represent the fact that the man is a walking arsenal. But at the same time, the way he swings that rifle up is pretty cool too. So either way you go here, this is part of their Artifacts series with the interchangeable arms and parts and bits and things. I love the Kotobukiya stuff. OG, have you had a chance to check out? Now, you have a couple of these yourself, right?
What, the Kodo?
The Artifacts?
I do. I have Darth Maul.
Darth Maul.
Yeah.
Big surprise. And that one had a variety of poses you could do as well. It's one of the great things that Kotobukiya is doing, I think, that in the sort of statue sense or the not posable sense. So let's take compare and contrast, if you will, from the Sideshow Bosque action figure, which is made to be in different poses and all sorts of things, but it's not really a statue. Yet the Kotobukiya, the more statue-type static piece, but the way Kodo is doing it, you still get the many options of posability. You can change them around. I know what I like to do is every couple of months, I like to change them out. You know, I like to change out. If there's alternate arms, I like to change them up. I'll probably do the same thing with this Boba Fett, the Return of the Jedi version 110 scale pre-painted model kit is what they're calling it, which is very interesting as well. I don't know what these run anymore, like 70, 80 bucks.
Yeah, I think somewhere in that range.
Definitely worth it. Definitely going to look great as part of an overall Boba Fett collection, Star Wars collection, 1/10 artifacts collection, Kotobukiya collection, any collection that you have. Where a great figure like this would fit in, you're going to be proud to own the Boba Fett Return of the Jedi variation from Kotobukiya. This stuff just gets better and better, and there's even more. I'm going to say it again. Two things. One, the Jango Fett coming down the pipe is amazing.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, I would like to say again, reiterate something that you brought up last week. I want to see some characters not in armor.
Yeah.
Because we have had troopers and guards and Vader and Boba Fett, and I'm looking for some other things.
Maybe they're afraid to sculpt.
Well, Maul,
no,
I guess.
Maul is not in armor.
Right, that's true. But then I would like to see more of that type of character.
Absolutely.
Like a Luke.
Yes.
You know, or maybe an Emperor.
Right.
Or something where I think that this type of variable posing thing would work really well with. I think there's a lot of opportunities there. Obi-Wan in God knows how many different ways. So check that out. It's KotoUS.
Yep, KotoUS.com. I'll post a link to it as
okay.
well.
Okay, that's great. And yeah, so definitely check that out. Can't wait to do more talking about Kotobukiya stuff.
Let's go to the tapes.
I can't get over the Megan Fox thing. It's bothering me.
I don't know why it's such a shock anymore.
She's so irrelevant.
It's Michael Bay.
Was Jessica Chastain not available?
It's Michael Bay.
By the way, have we decided whether she's hot or not?
I don't think we've decided.
I can't decide. Some days I'm like, she's pretty hot. Other days I'm like, she's not hot.
No, I think I'm going with not.
All right.
I think we're both not.
I don't know. I think today's one of those days for me.
DC. Okay, so there's the clip. So George is wrong.
George is completely wrong. We did not say that Megan Fox was not attractive or not attractive.
It was Jessica Chastain.
Jessica Chastain
that we were talking about.
Some days I think she's attractive and some days I think she isn't. Not Megan Fox. And quite frankly, I don't think Megan Fox is, you know, like... She's not all that, but that's not who we were talking about last week.
I think Megan Fox is lovely.
If you wrote in now, George, and said, oh, you said she wasn't all that, then you would be correct. But otherwise, you are absolutely incorrect. It is Jessica Chastain that waxes from maybe she's hot to likely she's not, and there is the end of that. This also disproves the theory that every redhead that is in any media is someone that I fall in love with. There. So we can put that rumor to rest as well.
I will say, though, that George did point out on the message boards, of course, that's where this conversation took place, that someone better to portray April O'Neil in the upcoming Michael Bay film would be the porn star April O'Neil, who frequently shows up at San Diego Comic-Con and other conventions dressed as April O'Neil.
Well, really? Let me see her. Oh, yeah, no.
I'll post that photo of her.
No. You know who would be a good...
You want to kick her out of bed for eating crackers?
You know who would be a good April O'Neil?
Who?
Oh, really? Yeah. What's wrong with
Felicia? I thought you were over her.
I'm over her, but she would still...
No.
I think she would be a great April O'Neil.
What's her name from True Blood? Deborah...
Ann Wall?
Her.
No, she's too angular.
No, she's too much.
I don't think so. I think Felicia Day would be a much better choice.
Anyway. You know who would be a great choice for April O'Neil?
Superpower Collectibles.
Superpower Collectibles for all of your geeky goodness. Check out superpowercollectibles.com for some great statues, comic books, toys, great Kotobukiya stuff. I think they have great Sideshow stuff over there
really?
As well. So check them out. Definitely a great sponsor to the show. And, of course, Kev.
Right. You get the coupon code.
Right.
Big Kev will get you $10 off any order of $40 or $50 or more. And any order of $99 or more using the coupon code Big Kev gets you the $10 off and free shipping.
Right.
And any order over $1,000 gets you OG's phone number.
No.
No?
No.
I didn't think that was true.
No.
It wasn't funny.
Either. I mean, maybe. I'll give you one digit off. You can just figure out which one it is.
No.
Just keep texting until you figure it out.
I was trying to think something funny there. It just didn't happen. But that doesn't in any way affect how great Superpower Collectibles will be for your shopping needs.
That's right.
You know, I hate to say this, OG, but it's getting a little late in the day. I think we should just get to the plugs and skip the wrap-up.
Yay, skipping! You know, number one complaint, aside from the intro being too long, is get rid of the wrap-up. I'm just saying.
Well, George doesn't dictate how we do our show.
I'm not saying George.
Fine.
I'm saying other persons.
fine. Commented.
George's wife does not dictate.
I'm not saying George's wife either.
Cornboy does not dictate how we do things around here.
You might let Cornboy dictate one or two things. He's a nice guy.
So gay.
Anyway.
Right, you could have said George's wife could dictate things, and that would have been that would have worked fine.
See, I went with the fat jokes earlier. You're going right to the gay. I wasn't going gay. I was saying I like Cornboy more than George,
which is
not true either, but that's the point that I was going with.
Wait, are you saying you don't like Cornboy?
I love Cornboy. I love George. I love Aileen. I'm filled with love.
Or something.
Cookies, I think. Don't forget, you can check us out online over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all of our episodes. Of course, please, please, please check us out on YouTube. Our YouTube hits, while certainly not impressive yet, I'm noticing a little bit of an uptick each week.
A trend?
And I'm also noticing a lot of new listeners are writing us. A couple people entered the contest, all from YouTube. So
nice.
It's nice to know that we're reaching some new people. So check us out.
Talk
BK
it up.
Geek Stuff is the yep. YouTube channel. And
Tell a Friend 2 is coming soon.
Let's get our subscribers on the YouTube up a little bit.
Yep.
We're at like 80.
Yeah.
Can we get above 100?
Because
80 is pretty pathetic. I'm just saying.
But there's so many other ways, OG, to get it. That's probably what.
80 subscribers in the 3 or 4 weeks that we've been on YouTube.
Right.
Is not bad.
Okay.
I'm just saying we could do better.
A lot of people are subscribing through iTunes, though.
A lot of people. And a lot of people are still listening on the website.
Uh-huh.
All of these are good ways to listen to the show. So check us out.
What if they wanted to contact the show with a question or comment?
BigKevsGeekStuff@gmail.com.
Uh-huh.
Or through the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
Or leave a comment on the YouTube video. We've had one or two of those, and I've responded to those. Uh-huh. Or send us an email through the YouTube channel.
Nice.
Or through Facebook. Facebook.com/BKGeekStuff.
And what about our MySpace page?
No. No, sir. We're not a comedian. We're not a musician.
So therefore, no MySpace.
And, you know, MySpace is...
How about Friendster?
Sketchy.
What's our Friendster page looking like?
Friendster? Jesus Christmas.
Just saying. We want to hit all the social media, even the irrelevant ones.
Don't forget, you can check us out on Twitter. @BKGeekStuff is the official show Twitter feed. Of course, I am GeekStuffOG. And I think that's it.
And with that, OG, we will end this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff number 279, which we have called, we put it out to you, it's either Rumor Has It or Tangent, by saying... Good night, Faye Reagan, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever